What is faith? Do you have faith this morning? What does it mean? Faith is really not something that is a mystery, a miraculous phenomenon, or something that's hard to understand. But faith is assurance and conviction. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. This is called a chapter on faith in our Bible. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." So faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had transplanted him. For before his translation he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now there is one of the verses in the Bible that we all should read, we should study, and we should dwell on a while. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We might say that our religious activities, our Christian endeavors, are all summed up here in this one verse. For without faith it's impossible to please God. And we do believe that things that he tells us in the Bible are actually going to happen. Belief of testimony, confidence in a person. This is faith. We must have confidence in a person. We must have confidence in the things we do. Now each one of us have confidence, I believe. How many of us here you think this morning really have faith? How many of you folks, I'd like to see your hand, that really have faith? Good, I'm glad to see most all hands up, because you've got faith in something. Whether it's in God, whether it's in Jesus, or you've got to have faith in something. Now I know some of us have faith each Friday when we take our paycheck home. We have faith our wife's going to take it and spend it. We know that. Now this is sort of an example. I'm trying to show you what faith is really is. It's something that we believe. We don't see it, but we really believe that when the time comes, it's going to happen. Now, there's many things in the Bible that tells us what is going to happen. It depends on each one of us how it happens to us. It can be good, it can be bad. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's found in Romans 10:17. Faith we must have. Now regardless, faith you must have. And the Bible tells us very definitely about this. In Habakkuk 2:4, in Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, all say, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now if we are going to be just, if we're going to try to do the things that God would have us to do, we must have faith. There's no other way. You have to have faith. Now, I think, personally, through the years, that the Bible and its teachings is one of the hardest things to bring to people's attention. It's one of the hardest things possibly to get over to people. Because, you know, when you say, well, Jesus, and you tell them the story of Jesus, well, Jesus died, he was put in the tomb, he was there 3 days, and then he arose again. Well, so many think this is sort of fantastic. That this could actually happen. But yet, so many of us still believe that God took a piece of clay and he formed it as he wanted to. He took the dust of the ground and he formed it. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, if you look at the two things, one of them is not really any more miraculous than the other. If a person can take a piece of dust, a dirt, and clay and make it a living person, he certainly can take the form that's laying down there in that grave, and he can raise it up again. And this is exactly what the Bible tells us is going to happen. Yet how many of us have faith that this is really going to happen? You say, well, how do I know whether I have this faith or not? You can tell it by the way you live, by the way you talk, and by the things that you do, by the way you treat your neighbors. For the Bible says to love thy neighbor as thyself. So look about you and see how you treat other people. See how you live your daily life, and this is going to tell you immediately whether you have faith, the faith that Christ, the faith that your God would want you to have. Yes, we have faith. Whether we know it or not, we have faith in something. And we pray this morning that the faith that you have would be in God's Word, because this would be the most important faith that we should have. Faith, you know, is a gift. And if you would like, you can turn to Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. Now, you know, we say it's a gift. It's a gift of God. Well, so many times, you know, we are given gifts. And I think this has probably happened to each one of us. How many times have you been given a gift, and when you unwrapped it, and sometimes this comes maybe not only from the young people, from the adults, but you unwrap this gift, and you look at it, and you say, now why would he buy me that? I can't use that. So you throw it back in the corner someplace, and that's the last time you ever look at it. Now, a gift is not supposed to be used like this, because the Bible tells us here that faith is a gift. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter and the 8th verse. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Now, are we going to take this gift, or are we going to throw it back in a corner someplace? We're not going to pay any attention to it. We're not going to use it because it isn't what we like. Oh, so many times when we pick up the Bible, we don't like what it says. No, this Bible sometimes makes me stop and think, too. Thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal. Lots of things it tells in there that we shouldn't do. You shouldn't be angry. You should talk nice to everyone. Now, this is a hard one to do, to talk nice to everybody. So many times we like to tell that other person off, don't we? We just grit our teeth. Not doing it sometimes. And then when it goes too far, we have to do it, and then sometimes we're sorry about it. But this is the way of life. This is the way that God has planned things, but he gave us a gift. It is a gift. This faith is a gift. And I believe, honestly, this morning, that faith is one of the hardest things that we have to contend with in life today. To have faith, how many times have we prayed? And our prayers just wasn't answered immediately as we think they should be. And we say, well, God isn't going to answer that prayer. There's no use. I'll forget it. It's not going to come about. We didn't have the faith to wait for an answer from God. We have to have faith to believe that this is going to happen. And it is hard sometimes to have this faith to believe the things that we should. In Galatians, also in Galatians, the 3rd chapter. And the 22nd verse. Galatians 3:22. But the scriptures have concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You see the promise of Jesus Christ. God says, I'm going to give you your son. He's going to be hanging on that cross. He's going to die for you. Do you have the faith this morning that Christ hung upon that cross, that he died for you? Or are we sometimes like people say, he didn't die for me, he died for the other person. Christ didn't do this for me, he did it for someone else. He didn't need to die for me. No, this is not it. He died for each one of us. It says, as we were in our sins, as we are sinful, he died for each one of us. But the scripture hath concluded, it says, all under sin. Not one or two, all, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Well, we know so many times our faith is very weak. But it says in the 23rd verse, But before faith come, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Before the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Yes, he says we are all a children of God. None omitted, all the same, all a children of God through faith. We must have this faith. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one under Christ. You see, it don't matter who you are, what color you are, what race you are, it says we are all one if we have the faith in Jesus Christ. And if ye be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So you see, at first when it started out, the promise was given to Abraham and his seed. But then we was promised a Savior, Jesus Christ, to come into the world, and by that Savior coming into the world, then we were all, it says, neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, male nor female, any of us are all considered in this promise. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A wonderful promise given to us in the Bible if we only have the faith to believe it. But you must have that faith. You must believe that this Bible is true, that this is actually going to happen. And friends, as many times as we see prophecy being fulfilled today, we know that this Bible is coming true word by word. We can see prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled. There's very few prophecies yet to be fulfilled according to the Scripture. As we read a moment ago in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, Hebrews 11:6, we want to look at again, says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Believe in your mind. Before we please God, we must also believe in our heart. You know, it's very easy to believe in your mind. You say, what do you mean by believing in your mind? This is what I mean by believing in your mind. It's very easy for our mind to say, mouth, say something. This is where everything comes from, right up here, and tells us what to say. Sometimes it comes too quick and we say the wrong thing too quick at the wrong time. But we must believe not only with our mind, but the most important thing is with our heart. Here is where it must come. Love comes from the heart, not from the mind, because as a mind, it's very easy for mind to say, mouth, say I like that person. And just all of a sudden you say, well, I like you. I think you're nice, but you don't believe it. So in order to have faith, and the proper kind of faith that the Bible speaks of, we must have this also in our heart. Let us turn to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans 10. Romans 10th chapter and the 9th verse. It says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now this is the thing that we must believe. And you must not only believe it in your heart, you must not only talk about it, but you must believe it in your heart and in your mind. That just actually happens. And if you will confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's very important here that we believe this. And the 10th verse, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you see, they both must go together. But from the heart you believe. From the mouth you make the confession. So all things must come from the heart. You must really believe it. You must believe it in your heart and not just in your mind where you can say, oh yes, I believe this, I could do this, or such as that. For it says here, there is no difference again between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It says the Lord is rich unto all who call upon him.
You see, none of us have to go around being poor. And some of us call it poor mouthing all the time about what little we have, about what hard times we have, about all the trouble we have. If we call upon Him, it says here in the Bible, we can be rich. You know, there's lots more in life than just the worldly possessions we have, isn't it? It doesn't mean a thing if you was a millionaire out there this morning and you was sick. Or if you was a millionaire and had all the money you wanted, and if you sat there with your mind all muddled up, worrying, thinking about something else, feeling terrible, not enjoying life, you see, it wouldn't be worth anything to you. But the Bible said you can be rich if you call upon the Lord. And each one of us can do this. The Bible said so. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. So you see, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew, you're Greek, rich or poor, or what you are. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. This is wonderful. Whosoever. It doesn't matter. Here again, it doesn't matter. Christians must believe in both mind and heart. And unless you do, you're not going to do it the way the Bible tells us to do it. Now this believer's position here, it's very important that you have this position in life, that you believe this. Turn to Romans again for the fourth chapter, Romans 4, 13. It says, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. See, this was how the promise was made, through the righteousness of faith. Not just because he made it to Abraham, not just because Abraham was who he was, but it says here, through faith. For if they which are the law be heirs, faith is made void. You see, if they was made heirs just through Abraham, there would be no need for this faith. No need to have faith. If you was an heir of Abraham, you could be assured you're going to have a place in God's kingdom. For that's the promise that was made unto Abraham. But it doesn't say that. For if they which are the law be heirs, faith is made void. It would be no use at all for it. And the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all. So you see, the promise was made to Abraham, but by faith we each can be part of that promise. We each can be heirs to this kingdom that is talked about so much in the Bible. But, you know, we just don't dare sit around and think, well, this faith is something that's just going to fall on us, or something we can go out and buy if we want it, or that. This is not true at all. But we must fight for this faith. And 1 Timothy 6:12. Turn to 1 Timothy 6:12. And there it tells us just in very plain words, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good faith of faith. Fight it. We must fight for faith. We must work for faith. We must believe in faith. We must have it in our mind. We must talk about it. And we must have it in our heart. This is what the Bible says for us to do. We must do all these things, or we cannot have faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy, and these are very familiar words to most of us, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 7th verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Oh, those are wonderful words that's given to us in the Bible if we only heed them. I have fought a good fight. Can we say this morning? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. This is what Paul said. I have kept the faith. And then because this has happened to me, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which is the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me that day, and not to me only. He says, no, not to just me, but to anyone who also that love his appearing. Why does he say it in this manner, that love his appearing? Well, you know, it's just this simple. Sometimes we can remember back when we were boys and girls at home and we did something which was wrong, and they said, hey, you're going to call your father. Well, we didn't love his appearing, did he? No, because we knew something was going to happen to us. But if we do the things that we should and the things are right, then we are going to love the appearing of the Lord, because we know that he has a reward for us. He has a place in his kingdom for each one of us. We are to look to Jesus. He is the author of our faith. Let's turn back to Hebrews a moment again. Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 2nd verse. Says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, this is what we are due. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It all begins with him, and it's all going to end with him. There is no other way. You either accept Jesus as your Savior and do the things he wants you to do right up to the end of your life, or you don't have it. You will not be remembered by him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author, he's the starting of it, and he's the finisher. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Yes, he went there with joy in his heart that he could do that for each one of us. And yet so many times today we deny him and we say, we don't want no part of you, Jesus. We don't want no part of you, God. We don't have no time to have part of you. I've got too many other things in life I got to do than read this Bible or go to church or do the things you want me to do. And then we don't have the faith. You know, we can work many years in the churches. We can look at our Bibles. We can read our Bibles. And yet, the time will come when maybe we don't have the faith that we should have. The same thing happened to Peter. He had worked with Christ. He had talked to Christ. And he had seen the miracles that Christ had performed. But yet Peter got out of that boat and started to walk across that water, and what happened? As we told you in the sermon 2 or 3 Sundays ago, he tried to look 2 ways at once. He tried to look towards Christ, and he tried to look down to see what was happening to him. He tried to look down to see if he was sinking. He started to sink. And Christ reached his hand out, as he can reach his hand out to each of us this morning. And he can say, friend, I'm going to be with you. I'll help you if you will call upon me. But you know, we have to ask him. He's just not there that every time that we step out in front of a truck doing 90 miles an hour and he's going to jerk you back and save you. Or something else you do that you shouldn't do, he's going to reach back and say, hey, don't do that, fella. No, he don't do it that way. We have to use our mind. The Bible said, we brought that to you on Scripture. You have to use your mind, and your mind has to say, mouth, confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. Confess Jesus as the one who was the author and finisher of our faith. Heart, you have to believe this. You have to believe it with all your heart, with all your soul. The Bible says, with all our mind. To love the Lord thy God, this we must do. And then we will have the faith that is given in the Bible, and we can have it in turn of our own. We have examples of faith, and you know this Bible, so many times we forget that this Bible was actually written by men who were there. It was inspired by God. They saw these things happen, and they wrote them down. Just the same as we go to school, and we open up our history book, and we say, George Washington done such and such thing. Abraham Lincoln done this, done that. The Bible is the same thing. Now, so many times we don't remember this. We don't take this into mind that our Bible is the history of these men. The history of God and his creation. The history of Jesus and his life upon this earth. But it is. It's just exactly like the same
you go and study at school. This Bible is the same thing. Let's turn to Matthew, the 9th chapter. And we'll read one of these actually happenings here in the Bible. Matthew 9:27. And says, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. Now they had heard of Jesus. They had seen Jesus, so they were following him. And they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. And when he was come unto the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? That's the question there he asked them. Do you believe that I can do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith. According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. Yes, Jesus asked him, said, Do you believe that I can do this? We must ask ourselves the same thing this morning in our hearts and in our minds. Can God actually do this that he has told us he can do? And if you say yes, then you have the faith to believe that this is true, that he can actually do it. They believed it. And we know this is true because men, as I said, was actually there that wrote about these accounts of Christ doing these miracles. In sickness, the 68th chapter of Matthew, Matthew 8:10. And we know that here was a man came unto Jesus here in this 8th chapter, this centurion, and he says, I have a fellow home at sick. He's sick. He says, Jesus, I want you to cure him. And you know what the strange thing here? It says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come into my roof. Jesus says, I will come over and heal him. The centurion says, No, Jesus, there's no need. Or he said, No, Jesus, there's no need. I'm not worthy for you to even come to my house, to even come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. This man says, Jesus, all you have to do is speak the word. You don't have to come to my house. You don't have to see this man. Just speak the word, and he'll be healed. He says, For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. Jesus said, I have never seen faith like this before. I have never found faith like this in all Israel. Here this man says, Jesus, all you have to do is say, utter the words, and I know this friend of mine back home will be healed. He'll be cured. Now that was really faith. If we could say in our hearts this morning, each one of us, I know, dear Lord, this will come out all right. This problem I have, this sickness we have, is going to come out all right, and you have the faith, it will happen. It will happen, but you must have the faith. No doubt, no doubt at all in your mind, you must have faith. You know, there were some caterpillars, little worms. They were put on an urn. They were put on the edge of the urn. And these little caterpillars, they walked the field. Now, right close to the urn, right next to it, right down beside of it, they put this caterpillar's favorite food. But you know, they went by feel, they went by touch. Now, this is what we go by so much today. We go by the things that we actually can feel, we actually can touch, that we actually have. You have faith that you have this object or that object because you can feel it. Well, these little caterpillars, they continue to crawl around and around and around, till they starved to death. Because they were going by feel. They couldn't see the food laying right next to them there where they could get it. They starved and fell off. They died. And so it is with us today, so many times.
You have the things you can feel, but you don't have the faith to see the things that might happen to you, to see the things that will happen to you, because you just don't have the faith to believe that it's going to happen. When you live every hour by the grace of God's power and you know He will guide you aright, then day in and day out, faith is stronger than doubt, and faith puts your worries to flight. Yes, faith will put your worries to flight. How many times through the week and through the days do you worry about something, and then it just comes out perfect? You had a headache, you was mean to the wife, or you was mean to the husband, because you was worrying about something was going to happen. And it never happened. Come out beautiful. But there you was disgruntled for 2 or 3 days, mean. You know how I know all this? I do it. You know, I do that worrying, and I get a little grouchy. Maybe treat people a little bit meaner than I should. And then the thing I worried about never happened, come out that way at all. Well, this wasn't having the faith that I should have. And this is what happens to each one of us. We don't have the faith that we should have. You know, we remember the story of the Red Sea, how Moses led the people up to the Red Sea, and how they complained, well, Moses, how are we going to get across this? He says, God will provide. So they opened the waters up. Now, can you imagine walking up to a large river, maybe Stillwater River down here, and you know it flows pretty deep in places, and you was running from somebody, and the Lord said, well, you just walk right down into that water and I'll open it up? Well, if we'd have the faith to do it. I doubt if I would, because I can't swim. It takes faith to do these things. This is the faith we're talking about this morning, that you can have faith to believe God will provide for you and take care of you in your time of need. We remember the story of Jericho, the walls of Jericho, how the Lord told them to march around so many times and those walls would fall down. And they did, and they fell down, and they were able to take the city. These are all stories of faith that will actually happen. But the biggest, greatest faith that we must have, the hardest faith in our lives this morning, is for each one of us to confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let us turn to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 12 and the 8th verse. Luke 12, 8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Here's something He tells us that we must have the faith to do. Here's something He tells us we must do, to confess before men our Jesus as our Savior. But he that denieth me before men, shall he be denied before the angels of God. Yes, if you deny Him, He says, I will deny you. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into the synagogues and to Damascus and powers, take ye no thought, or how wise things ye shall answer, or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. You see the thing He tells us there? Don't worry about people persecuting you. Don't worry about what other people are going to say when you believe the Word of God, because it says when you come right down to that place, when you need it, in the same hour that you ought to say, He says the Holy Ghost, the power of God, is going to give you words to say, tell you what to say, and what to do. So friends, this morning, we each can look at ourselves and see if we have the faith that we should have. Have faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. Found in Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall be saved. Very simple words, aren't they? But it takes a little more sometimes than just those words. Have faith in God. When inclined to be discouraged and all hope seems to depart, don't forget that Jesus liveth and still has you on His heart. When your load seems hard to carry and the burden no one shares, though the world seems not to pity, just remember, Jesus cares. When thou passest through the waters and no earthly help you see,
Do not lose your faith in God, for he said, I'll be with thee. So, dear heart, fear not, take courage, for the word of God is true. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee, but will guide while passing through. May the Lord bless each one of you this morning, and may you have received a blessing by being here.